Let's read together 2 Samuel 17. In this chapter, Absalom rejects the counsel of Ahithophel in favor of the counsel of Hushai, while David prepares for battle on the east side of the Jordan River. Let's begin by reading the first 23 verses. 2 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid, and all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, "Now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, "Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up." So Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For," said Hushai, "you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place, and it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you, from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all his men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he has withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there." So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom." Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, "Thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, 'Do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up.'" Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at En-Rogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" So the woman said to them, "They have gone over the water brook." And when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass, after they had departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, "Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you." So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his house in order and hanged himself and died, and he was buried in his father's tomb. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 17, with some background notes. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, Absalom entered Jerusalem and set himself up as king in the capital city. Meanwhile, David and his faithful company made their way down through the Judean wilderness to the Jordan Valley, where they rested momentarily at the Jordan River before crossing over to the east. Back in Jerusalem, Ahithophel, who had betrayed David, was ready to counsel Absalom on the best way to defeat David and eliminate any possibility of David's return to the throne. But Hushai, David's faithful spy, was also in Jerusalem, ready to counsel Absalom and buy time for David, as well as send David word of Absalom's plans. Now here in chapter 17, Ahithophel counsels Absalom to immediately pursue David and defeat him and his company while they are still exhausted. Hushai dares to say that the counsel of Ahithophel is not good. Absalom should know, says Hushai, that David is a man of war and could easily outwit a superior force in the Judean wilderness, especially at a time like this. What Absalom should do to ensure victory, says Hushai, is wait until he can gather a vast army from all of Israel, even from Dan to Beersheba, and surround David so that there is no possibility of any escape, whether it be in the field or in a city. Absalom favored the counsel of Hushai over Ahithophel's counsel. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was rejected, he went home and hung himself. Verse 23. In this, Ahithophel is a type of Judas Iscariot. As Ahithophel betrayed King David and took his own life by strangling, so Judas betrayed our Lord the King and ended his own life by hanging himself. And that brings us now to our doctrine, our teaching points for 2 Samuel chapter 17. Doctrinal point number one, God has ways to thwart the counsel of the wicked. God has ways to thwart the counsel of the wicked. Not only was the counsel of Ahithophel rejected in favor of Hushai's counsel, but Hushai was able to get word to David of Absalom's plans through Jonathan and Ahimaaz. We see God's hand at work even here to protect Jonathan and Ahimaaz from being captured. God provided just the right woman and courtyard and well for hiding and escaping detection. All of this was part of God's sovereign plans to thwart the counsel of the wicked Absalom. Now let me ask you, can God still thwart the counsel of the wicked? Of course he can. Listen to the words of Psalm 64, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. From Psalm 64. As God answered David's prayer and thwarted the counsel of Ahithophel, so God can answer our prayers and overthrow the plans of the opposition and those who would try to undermine us. This is especially true if you are a believer with an outspoken testimony. Those who are opposed to the Lord and the gospel will try to silence us. But remember, God has ways to thwart the counsel of the wicked. Doctrinal point number two, God has ways to prepare the path of the righteous. God has ways to prepare the path of the righteous. Verses 24 through 29. Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. This Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. God has ways to prepare the path of the righteous. Now, when we say righteous here, we don't mean that David was righteous in all his doings. No, far be the thought. In fact, David's having to leave Jerusalem and escape across the Jordan River was all part of God's discipline for David's sins of adultery and murder, as we know from 2 Samuel chapter 12. But David had confessed his sin, and his heart was now right before the Lord. And Absalom was definitely in the wrong for usurping the throne of Israel. Now notice how God prepared the way for David. He not only provided David with information about Absalom's plans through Ahimaaz and Jonathan, but he also provided David and his faithful company with supplies, even beds, as we see in verse 28. Remember, David was now on the east side of the Jordan River at Mahanaim. Mahanaim was the capital of Israel for a short time after King Saul's death under his son Ishbosheth. Remember that? So Mahanaim must have been a reasonably well-fortified city and certainly part of God's care and provision for David at this point. And the fact that God moved the hearts of the men in verse 27, including the leader of the Ammonites, to support David and not Absalom, is also part of God's provision for David. We see in verse 26 that Absalom has now crossed over the Jordan and is camped with his army in Gilead. But the Lord has given time and rest and supplies and a fortified city for David and his faithful company to plan and prepare for the coming battle of chapter 18. God has ways to prepare the path of the righteous. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In the context, all these things includes all that we need. God has ways to prepare the path of the righteous. Now, what about practical application? Don't stop praying because God has ordained everything. Don't stop praying because God has ordained everything. Verse 14, "For the Lord had purposed or ordained to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom." Now, we said that this was an answer to David's prayer back in chapter 15 and verse 31. "O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." But wait a minute. If God had ordained to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel, why should David pray? Answer, because God answers prayer. This is a mystery for sure, but not a contradiction in the Bible. The Bible teaches both. Ephesians 1:11 says that God works all things after the counsel of his will. And yet, in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, the Lord says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." How it works is beyond our finite comprehension, but both are true. So don't stop praying because God has ordained everything.